Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Actively Lazy, coming at you guys with week 3 gambling action. Before I start, let me just say I want to apologize a little bit for not putting this podcast out a little early, but I had concerns with injuries. If you're in the All-Star group, you got all the up-to-date things that I could have possibly given you. Last week, I rushed the show because we had a lot of line movement. This week, I took my time. Because we didn't have a lot of line movement and there's a lot of injuries, like everybody's hurt. And, you know, God bless the Cowboys. They had some big injuries today, too. We're still waiting on the official status for Joe Burrow, a couple other things. So when I get to that game, I'll talk about it. But quick recap, last week, 4-1 in the MyBookie contest and 8-2 overall in that. And then 3-2, unfortunately, in the Westgate contest. But 8-2 in the Westgate contest, sitting one back from the top spot. For the folks who are even remotely interested in what that means, is every 3 weeks, the Westgate contest pays out a balance. So the first 3 weeks, the total would be $25,000 to first place. Obviously, if you tie, they split it. And then from weeks 4, 5, and 6, they do another mini contest. I think it pays out like 15,000, maybe 20,000, like gets lower and lower. So like week 16, 17, 18, it pays out like 5K to the first place person. But either way, I mean, I'm cool with any kind of payment, you know. But so I'm one back from the mini contest, and since we've only been 2 weeks in the cumulative contest, I am one back as well. I think I'm tied 13th in the Westgate contest, and then tied for like 148 or something like that in the MyBookie contest. But it's so early in the season, you just kind of have to play it by ear and just take your time. You don't really need to sweat in these types of like rolling results until like week maybe 11, depending on how far back you are. So I usually never start that well, and I think I said this last year. I'm a slow starter by nature in NFL. So if you're catching me like now 8-2 in 2 weeks, in the first 2 weeks, phenomenal for me. Like, I'm ecstatic. I'm usually like 4-6 at this point, but I got a good beat on things, and I'm hoping that this week will be another good week. Quick recap in the MyBookie, I had Seahawks +6, Cowboys -3.5. I think I told you guys about that. The line hadn't changed, so I got in early on the Cowboys. Falcons +2 and the Steelers +2.5. Those were my 4 wins. My one lone loss came to the Denver Broncos, favored by 3.5. I've been taking a lot of chances this year with these half numbers, and it's just one of those things where you kind of overthink it. In the MyBookie contest, I kept the Steelers in because I thought the Steelers could win, and I'm pretty sure I said that on the podcast. It was a good situational spot, good bounce back spot. Teams get blown out in week one. They bounce back like 63% of the time. I'm getting points with a home dog that's looking to get off to the right foot for their first divisional game against an opponent that they typically have success with. Now, obviously, you're not factoring in, oh, you're going to get 14 points from Deshaun Watson turnovers, but Deshaun Watson's poor play is part of the reason why you take as many points as you can get. So it paid out for me in this one. The Broncos game, man, I don't have anything, man. Eric B was cooking. At one point, I was literally cursing him out, like, dude, could you just stop doing what you're doing, stop being good. But yeah, it seems like they kind of got their rhythm going, and Broncos just did not have an answer. It's like Washington made an adjustment and it was just over from that. And then shout out to the Washington defense, finally showed up, that edge rush. Chase Young looked like, you know, dominant. Montez Sweat looked dominant. So, or Montez is my cousin's name, but I think it's something similar. But anyway, looked dominant. The front was great. Secondary play physical, just a good win for the Washington Commanders. Seahawks outright was a money line play that I had at plus 220. I don't know if I said it on this podcast. I think by this podcast, it might have been a little bit lower. But if you follow me on Twitter, and if you don't follow me on Twitter, you should, because I'm actually being more active now. But I gave it out on Twitter as one of my top three money line plays. And two of my top threes actually made it. The Patriots didn't. But the Seahawks, I think, were plus 185 at the time of my tweet. And then the Steelers were like plus 135 at the time of my tweet. So that really helped. And then if you were checking in today, I did not get my same game parlay prop. It was just $10. You know, George Kittle over 4.5 receptions did hit. And I said I was pretty high on Kittle to some people in private. And that worked out for me. But that was the side bet, not part of the prop. And then I gave out some information about sacks. We had some good digits for sacks. And I took Jerron Hargrave plus 130 over 0.75. Obviously, just needed to get one sack. And he did. I got it pretty early, too. So that was great. And then my favorite prop bet for that game was the Niners over 27.5. You were actually getting plus odds with that. I think it was like plus 104, something like that. So, depending on which book you use, it was a good. That was a good one. I really was getting a little upset towards the end of the game. I figured Kyle would just sit on it, but thankfully, Debo and Purdy had other plans, so that came through for me. For the Westgate contest, Westgate lines don't change, so obviously these numbers are going to read a little funny. But Westgate Falcons +1, Seahawks +5.5, Chiefs favorite by 3.5. Took that. And then my two losses, Broncos -3.5. And then I switched the Steelers out for the Patriots, and the Patriots couldn't backdoor it for me. I was hoping for a push there, and I couldn't get it. But, you know, that's just the nature of the beast. You know, you overthink. And I'm trying not to do that this week for my contest. Now, the contest picks and my actual gambling picks, they typically do go hand in hand, but I have flexibility when I gamble. I can do teasers, I can buy the hook and things like that. Like you don't get to do that when you're doing the MyBookie or any of the super contests. You don't get to buy the hook. So kind of have to pick and choose. And what I thought was a better number with the +3. At home as well against a division opponent with some travel, I thought it was a better spot than taking a chance on the Steelers to outright win, if you guys get what I'm saying. So I did bet the Steelers to outright win, you know, on my regular bet. But for the sake of trying to get points in the contest, I took the better number, air quotes, the 3 over the 2.5. If you need more detail on what I mean by that, just reach out to me. A couple of you guys have reached out to me on the side, and I appreciate the support and all that. And I don't have a problem with talking to you about anything. At the end of the day, your bet is your bet. And that's what I encourage people to do. Your bet is your bet. You can listen to what I say. It may sway you a little bit, or you may be like, oh, you know, he's got a good point. Do your own research. Don't just listen to what I say. Do your own research and then formulate your choice. And when you place that ticket, that is your bet. And I say that to people because that's how you learn, you know, that's how I learned. Like my friends gave me $50 and sent me on my way. And when I lost my $50, I didn't come back and say, you told me to play this. It was no, I was dumb enough to play that. And that's why I lost it. So it helps you become a better gambler. Like if you really want to make some money, and again, we're not talking about buying a car, buying a house. I mean, you want to set up your man cave, you can do that through this for sure. I have. If you want to make a couple car payments, you can do that too. I made a lump sum on one actually. So it's just a matter of your approach. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to preach this to the day I die, make it your bet. Okay. Make it your bet. So this week, looking back at week 2 trends, dogs are still barking. I think they're 8-5-3 last week. The over. Now, this was crazy. The over was 13-3 last week. Like, great day, man. Like, a complete 180 from week one, where I think the under was 12-4. So, I don't even know what to make of that. I don't bet a lot of over-unders. I have one over that I'm looking that I was looking at this week. I don't even know if it's gonna hit now that, you know, we had a injury. But I took the Niners team over tonight, over 27.5. That's typically where I go for NFL, like just trying to target a team total over the actual total of the game. Now, there are certain games you could look at, you could tell, like, I'm gonna take the over here. The Chargers are over team. The way their defense is playing right now and the way their offense is as explosive as they are, they're an over team. Like, I'm not betting any unders on Chargers games unless there's a clock-controlling team. Like, putting them up against the Dolphins is a recipe for an over. You can't set the line high enough. Same with the Seahawks and the Lions last week. You can't set the over high enough, man. It's got to be an over game. Shoot, they almost had, like, 90 points between them. I think the year before, but at the end of the day, I think that game hit over because of overtime. But again, if you're looking at it from a logical standpoint, why we would bet this over or bet this under, they're over teams. Patriots, not over teams. Eagles, not an over team. Niners, probably not an over team most nights, but depending on the opponent, they can be. So they're more of a hybrid, but there's just certain teams like Titans, man, you got to be the Chargers or bad like the Chargers to make the Titans an explosive offense, explosive enough that they would be an over team. I just saw them play the Saints and Titans. It was like 15-16 or something like that. So I think you can kind of get a feel for who's an over team, who's an under team, and use that to help you out. Even though it's really early in the season, like some of these teams, identity-wise, this is what they are. I think, you know, the exception would be somebody like Cincinnati. You know they're going to get their offense going at some point, and they're pretty explosive. You expect them to be an over team consistently at some point based on their history, but as it currently stands, doesn't look that way. And I'll try to talk a little bit more about Cincinnati and how we navigate these teams at face value in the season when they're playing under expectations. So I'll go through every game. There's going to be some games I'm just going to say lean. I'm not going to make a standard pick. I will tell you, of my contests, the Chargers-Vikings game will be in my contest. The Saints-Packers game will be in my contest. The Panthers-Seahawks, I'm not sure yet. Falcons Lions will be in my contest. Titans Browns will be in my contest. So if you guys are looking for like what are the picks that he likes the most, well, at least four of those five picks I just talked about will be in my super contest wagers for both sites. So still looking for this fifth game. Not sure what I'm gonna do with the fifth game, but when I get there, I will post it on Twitter. Okay. Like I try to do every time. The MyBookie contest lines, I lock those in first thing on Tuesday when it opens or whenever they allow me, as early as possible on Tuesday. Tuesday nights, I don't sleep. Or Tuesday morning. So Monday night football ends, your boy's up till about 5 a.m. I'm checking lines and just waiting for me to be able to lock my bets in. That's how I get some value. Like I got the +220 on the Seahawks. I got the Cowboys. At, you know, -3.5 and things like that. This week, my like jump on the early play was the Titans +3.5, but the lines come back to me, and then the Bengals -1.5. Also, if you're wondering why I keep saying I'm looking at myself talk in this camera. It's really weird. It's not the same as when you live stream and you know people are listening. So I'm just trying to get used to that solo podcasting thing again. But anyway, let's get into this week's game. Enough talk. We just saw the Niners Thursday night game. First game up, I'm going off the Action Sport Network page. So I'm going by their lines. Right now, it's Chargers traveling to Minnesota, 1 p.m. game. The spread is Minnesota favored by one. The over-under is at 54. I will tell you, there's some sites like FanDuel's got them favored at like 1.5. Westgate is still got the Chargers plus one. So you're looking at between 1, 1.5, plus one. It's fluctuating all over. The name of this game, when I looked at this on Tuesday, I was like, it just kind of depends on the health of the Vikings offense a lot. Now, the Vikings went out and signed a guard, used to play for the Broncos. Can't really pronounce his name, but the importance of this is, one, the guard is an upgrade for whatever position they need. He's versatile. He can play tackle, which I'm hearing was his more natural position, but he was also a top 10 guard last year with the Broncos. He's a great run blocking guard, which is going to help them because they need to be able to run the ball. They also just got Cam Akers, which I can say on this podcast, I couldn't say on podcasts I did earlier in the week. They also got Cam Akers, not sure if he'll play or when he'll play, but that's clearly an upgrade for them. And then they should be getting their left tackle back. Now, that's important because their backup left tackle went down in the game against the Eagles, but the guy that they put in for him was solid too. So I think there's – I know it's not – they're not as good as people expected fan-wise. They're not as good as what the fans expected, and they've been dealing with some injuries, but I think they're going to get the left tackle back. And they've got this upgrade guy that they can move around who's familiar with their blocking scheme because the guy who's helping with the offense, I don't think he's the actual O-line coach, but there's a couple people in the organization that were on the staff for the Broncos that this guy knows, and that's how they got connected with him and so forth and so on, made it pretty easy to bring him in during camp. They didn't sign him, and they kept tabs on him, and then they just doubled back and signed him. So it shouldn't be one of those situations where we got to worry about if the line can block or if they know the scheme. It should be fine. Kirk Cousins is playing really well. I know people are like, Primetime Kirk covered for me at 7.5 last week. Primetime Kirk actually played damn good considering makeshift offensive line going against all that pressure from the Eagles. I mean, if there was a defense, matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. The Chargers got to be the worst fucking defense in the league right now. Based on the talent that they have and what's been going on, the Chargers got obliterated defensively by Tua, who's on the tear. And you know what? I almost excuse that because I'm like, man, look at Tua. The weapons he got, 300 a pop, man, is nothing. They shooting on all cylinders. But when I see Ryan Tannehill airing the ball out, throwing the ball 45 yards down the field on you, there is something wrong. Staley's feeling the heat. I mean, we're in a situation where you gotta be nervous to back a team like the Vikings who hurt themselves. What they got, like 6 turnovers in 6 quarters or a turnover per quarter average is really bad. That Eagles game, man, you know, a part of me wants to think they could have pulled that off if it wasn't for the dumb fumble for it by Jefferson, which kind of happens. But then Madison fumbled, and then there's a couple other like goofy little plays. I'm like, dude, you're just killing yourselves. And then an argument can be made that, you know, some people in the organization and some whispers going around that the Vikings want to just go ahead and just tank. Like, hey, you know what? Let's trade Kirk Cousins and tank for Caleb is what everybody keeps saying. Tank for Caleb. This guy doesn't even know if he wants to come in. But anyway, I'm going to back the Vikings here. There's some solid history with the Vikings against the Chargers head-to-head. Their last two games, 2019 and 2021, both of those were in LA, and the Vikings won both of those games. I would not be backing them if the number was higher, but I finally think we have a number that the Vikings can truly cover because it's virtually a pick'em, and I think they will find a way to win. Wouldn't be surprised if it was anywhere between the Vikings blow these guys out and it comes down to the last possession and their defense comes through. Flores has this like the passing defense. Like, this is another key thing, I think, as well. The Vikings have a top 10 passing defense right now, and Austin Ekeler isn't out there. The Chargers only ran for like an average of less than 3 yards their last game, and they're 3-6 when they don't have Austin Ekeler. I'm looking at like strength on strength. They're passing offense against this top 10 passing defense. And then defense that can't keep people from scoring when they need to against an offense that can move the ball, man. Like, they can move the ball. They'll find a way. And, you know, if it was primetime Kirk, I'd be a little concerned. But what's the difference between primetime Kirk and Justin Herbert at 1 o'clock, man? I mean, what are we talking about? Also, working against the Chargers. It's their third game in three different time zones. They did the West Coast, they did the East Coast, and now they're in the Central Time. So that also might work at them a little bit too. Back-to-back road games, different time zones, etc. And then again, like I said, Staley's feeling the heat, man. So I took this a little early with confidence, and that's why they're going to be in my contest, and I like the Vikings here. Second game, Buffalo, Washington. I really should be writing down these timestamps. Actually, y'all give me a second. I know y'all like, yeah, this is janky, but I'm sorry. Solo podcast, man. I'm trying to do what I can over here, right? But Buffalo, Washington. Let's see what we got here. Spreads at 6.5. Over unders at 43.5. You guys know I'm a big even money podcast person. I love listening to Steve Fezzik. I think he's a great resource. Ross Tucker, probably not so much of a gambling source, but still the podcast is smooth. And they get you the information to get it out quick. C's a math guy. He's a nerd. Probably what Joe Matz is on his free time. He just doesn't let us know that. But what are we getting here with this line? And he made a good point, and it was what I first thought when I saw it too. I love Josh Allen. I love the Bills. But I've watched the Commanders two games. They didn't necessarily they didn't look that great game one, but they still covered the number. Regardless of it to the very last play of the game, et cetera, they still covered the number. Then they travel out to the Broncos, and they're a 3.5-point dog, and they whip the Broncos, essentially. It didn't start out that way. Started slow, but they ended up whipping them, and they covered again. Buffalo couldn't cover and couldn't win against Zach Wilson. You could make a case, hey, familiar opponent, you know, the Jets, I've said this and I still believe it, the Jets built the defense to stop the division, etc. We could throw that out. Okay, we throw that out. Then they whip the Raiders. Now, Washington has a lot going for them right now, a lot of momentum. I'm pretty sure that crowd's going to be, because they're front runners anyway. It's going to be a good atmosphere there. Do we trust the Bills? Do we trust the Bills to cover this number? I guess it's all kumbaya when you're playing the Raiders and you're up by a lot of points. But I like what I saw at that Washington pass rush. And again, I'm not saying they can beat them, and I'm not saying they will beat them. But we're talking about almost a full touchdown. I'm worried that the Bills don't move the ball as consistently as they would like. I'm also worried that that pass rush, which they've got very similar setup up front. They've got two really good edge rushers in Sweat and Chase Young. But the interior defensive line for the Washington Commanders is probably one of the most underrated interior D line in the league, because they don't get any kind of press whatsoever. But them boys are sturdy. Bills can't run the ball. So what are we looking at? I think we're looking at a cover here by Washington. Again, not putting it in my contest, and it's definitely not a popular pick right now. Washington only getting 24% of the bets and 24% of the money. But I just think the Bills are just a little too public, man. And I'm almost tempted, very, very tempted, to put this in my super contest for the simple fact that it's just too public to me. And it's a line that I feel like should be one or two points less than what it is. And it's getting a lot of money from people who I don't think really pay attention to anything other than the name. So strong lean to Washington. Don't be surprised if you see them in my contest. And if it doesn't, if it's the one that I lose, I'm fine with that, just because I feel like, again, something doesn't sit right with this number, and I'm willing to take the risk and go with my hunch here. Some of that NFL betting, for real, is just going with your gut, not overthinking it, not second-guessing it. Hot team, hot coordinator, and Eric B. doing some great stuff. If you follow any of the PFF guys on Twitter, or if you need follows on Twitter, go check them out. A lot of people breaking down how he made adjustments, how he's using Robinson and Gibson in tandem, and how Sam Howell and those guys just look like they're flowing into the offense right now, which makes them very dangerous. I think they can put up enough points to cover this. So already talking myself into putting them as my 15. Next game, New Orleans Saints at Green Bay. Another game. I mean, what's the injuries, man? What's the injuries? The Saints are dogs here by 1.5 points. This line was at 2. So we had a minimum movement, a little movement. 57% of the bets and 57% of the money are on the Packers. So I am worried, because this will be the best offense that the Saints have faced so far. And one thing about, and it's maybe the best defense that they face, or maybe you could say second best. But there's something about this Packers team and their energy that makes me think, first home game, disappointing loss to Atlanta. This is a get right spot for a team that I think, when they look at the rest of their division, they feel like they can win this thing. Bears are not good. Lions are dealing with some injuries right now, and they're coming off a loss as well. Vikings can't get right. Packers are right in the thick of things, man. Early on, I know it's only 2 games, but you got to think that, you know, coming in, everybody, well, not everybody, but the betting favorite was the Lions, followed closely by the Vikings. And then I think in some circles, people had the Bears being better than the Packers. So Jordan Love, you know, I was hypercritical of him coming out of Utah State, and even his first couple starts in the NFL, you know, as a backup and stuff. But he looks like he's got it down. Like, he looks like he's getting better and better each game. And, you know, they got Aaron Jones practicing this week, which I think really helps. I think Jamal Williams, I heard, was going to be out for the Saints, and Alvin Kamara is not back yet. So I'm assuming they're going to do a high dosage of Taysom Hill, which I've never been a huge fan of. I know it's gimmicky and it works to an extent, but the way they talk about the guy is like he's changing the game. He's not. So I'm gonna lay it with the Packers. They're in my contest too. And again, not a highly popular bet, but I just think it's the right spot to back Green Bay. I trust LaFleur. One other red flag to me is that my boy Derek Carr has got an interception each game he's played so far. I don't think you can beat this Green Bay Packer team if you turn the ball over. And they've got some DBs, mainly Alexander, who's probably licking his chops, waiting to get Derek Carr to try one of those terrible outside throws that he does. And he's coming downhill, pick six all the way. So let me go ahead and take it. And one other thing going against the Saints. 2 games so far, failed to cover the number against the Titans at home, pushed. I'm going to say it again with emphasis on the P, pushed against the Carolina Panthers on the road. Pushed against the Carolina Panthers on the road. So let me get these Packers in their first home game. I like it. And Watkins is – he's on track. They rested him today. I was reading. They rested him today. I don't think he's I don't know if he's going to play or not, but if he doesn't play, he'll definitely be back next week. The tackle, I always jack his name up, who never plays. He's always hurt. I'm not even going to worry about him. Ain't even worried about him at all. They can get Aaron Jones back. I think they'll be fine. Should be a good game. Next game, Falcons traveling to the Detroit Lions. Again, dang it, I keep messing up. I keep forgetting to write down the timestamps. Anyway, not a huge fan of Arthur Smith. And you know, if you follow me here on any of my social medias or you in the group, you've seen me complain about him. Can't stand him. I think he's just absolutely terrible at using his weapons in tandem. You get Drake London or Kyle Pitts. You never get Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And I still don't understand for the life of me how Bijan Robinson has more plays designed for him than those two, and he just got there. But Bijan looks great. One of the highest-rated rookies coming out of week two. Just an awesome playmaker. Lions dealing with some injuries, primarily their guard, which I think will be a big deal because the Falcons' defense has been surprisingly decent. And so I like the Falcons here, getting my points. I got it at +3.5 on the my bookie contest. I'm wondering if I can – I don't think I can get that on Westgate. I think it's at 3 on Westgate. But I'm good with taking them as a outright money line upset as well, just throwing that out there. And then, again, getting my points with them. Ridder hasn't been that great, but I just think the injuries are going to rear their head on the Lions and challenge their depth. Also, one thing I liked about the Falcons too is how they came back against the Packers. They were down by like I think almost 12 at one point or something, and just had some fire in them. And so Drake London spoke to that in one of his interviews today, talking about burn the boats. You know, they want to take teams to deep water and drown them. I think that's a great mentality to have for a team like Atlanta, and good to hear from a team like Atlanta who's had such a history of just tricking things up. But again, not a fan of Arthur Smith, but hey, I ain't gotta like you to bet on you as long as you cover. Hate to fade my man Meathead, Dan Campbell. That's why I call him Meathead. Love him to death, but I just think it's just a situational play. I can't do it. Let me get the Falcons. They'll be in my super contest as well. Titans versus Cleveland. We all saw the awful injury there to Chubb, and you know, obviously, doesn't matter what I say, but you know, wish him all the best and a speedy recovery. Hopefully, it doesn't like do permanent damage. I mean, it's the same knee. It just sucks to see, and hope that you know he can. I personally would like to see him retire, man. Like two injuries like that, that's rough, man. But they re-signed Kareem Hunt. For some reason, that was good enough for half a point. So the line went back up to 3.5. Titans are like a locomotive. That's what I would call them. They got a lot of gradual build to their to like their ATS covers. I think they do this like every year. Anytime you can get them in a spot where they're getting more than a field goal, I feel like you have to take them. Like you have to take. I wish I had the stats on teams that cover at a certain number, man. I would be shocked, man. These dudes love to cover when they're getting points, especially more than a field goal. Let's see. Matter of fact, well, there's only been two games. So in the two games that they've had this year, +3, +2.5, they covered both games. So let me get the 3.5 here. Not going to overthink it. Titans are just healthier. Deshaun Watson hasn't looked good. Titans defense should be able to give him the same problems everybody else has given him. Even with Kareem Hunt, just a stout defense against the run and just consistent against the pass. Mike Vrabel has plenty of film on Deshaun Watson, even if it's not the version that he's used to playing. I'm pretty sure he'll be happy to see this version as well. And then coming off that physical game against the Steelers, I just think you can make an argument that this team is pretty banged up right now. So, sorry, I keep doing it. You know what? I need anybody listening to this podcast, man. If you want to be like the tech person for me, by all means, come through, man. Come through. I never thought I'd miss Keith, but he did all this like secretarial stuff, man. It's hard to keep up with these timestamps. Anyway, Switching to the next game. Let's see. Houston and Jacksonville. Houston and Jacksonville lines at 9. What is it? 7. I don't have to explain that the Jags are favored by 9. I think that's implied. Not sure what the health status is of Stroud. Keep hearing like conflicting reports of where he would, he's on like a count or something, like the conserving his arm or something or the other. It doesn't really matter to me. He is playing well, but I don't think he's playing well enough to cover. Pretty popular bet right now, too, money wise, on the Texans covering. I'm wondering if that's just the fate of the Jags, but. And also, I think there's some strong history with the Texans covering at this spot. Let's see. Last two games, 2021, 2022, Texans covered 6 and then covered 7. So, yeah, I guess there's some history there. But this ain't that team. And, again, first-year coach, first-year quarterback, 87% of the money right now is on the Texans to cover with 42% of the bets. That is a gross fade. Jeez. So I'm not backing that. Good luck to those people, but the Texans just be blowing the games like in the second half. I just can't do it, even with the 9. So I would call this a lean to the Texans just because I would prefer to follow the money over the public aspect of all those tickets on the Jags, but it's definitely a no bet for me this week. Next game, let's see, as I write down this timestamp, the Jets and the Patriots. Everybody's looking for this one. It's going to be game of the week, right? Mac Jones versus Zach Wilson. Exactly what they always wanted when they got drafted. Wrong. Anyway, Patriots, man, hey, shout out to Christian Gonzalez. He has been just as good as advertised and still baffles me that he dropped so far down the draft. Like, the kid is really good. He got praise from Tyreek Hill. Probably is the anchor of this defensive secondary for the Patriots, and he's a rookie. So that speaks volumes to him and his skill level. So I really like him. But, you know, the history here, man. The history here. I don't think Bill's ever I really want to say he's never failed to cover. I have to double check on that and maybe tweet it out. I'm sure somebody's already tweeted out, but let's just say he just doesn't lose to the Jets. Just doesn't. It's not in his DNA. And I think it's been like 14 straight or something like that. I've been seeing the Jets players talk about it in the media. It's kind of funny to me. But even last year, favored by 3.5, they won 10-3 in New England, 22-17 in New York. So, and this, I'm not a fan of Mac Jones at all, but if, you know, I think it's not even worth overthinking, just lay the points, man. But actually, let me double back and say this one disclaimer. When there's trends like this, where a team, like you get a team, baseball does it all the time, team on a win streak. They're winning, they won 10 games in a row, 15 games in a row. There's something to be said for putting money on them to lose at that highest point. So if a team's won like 10, 15 games in a row, in this case, if Bills covered 14 times in a row, you're probably going to wind up catching that one time where it's just the nature of the beast. It's the law of averages, essentially. Like they're not going to cover forever. So even though I'm saying it with confidence, like, oh, take the Patriots, just know that at some point you're going to crap out. So in that event, you probably want to be on that Jets money line, which is plus 125 right now, if you think that this is the game that they're not going to cover. Like, just take the Jets to win if you think that the Patriots are not going to cover, because that'll be your best value. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just letting you guys know there are plenty of people out here that make their living off of fading trends, like healthy trends like that. So wouldn't be me, though. Next game, Broncos country. That's right. Haven't heard that all year, thankfully. But Broncos traveling to Miami. The line's at 6.5. Saw some tweets about or some alerts about Waddle and his status. He didn't practice today, I don't think. 67% of the money's on the Broncos right now, plus 6.5. I can tell you, me personally, Broncos made my no bet list, and it's only been one game that I bet on them. For the simple fact that at one point they were 97% likely to win, and I lost outright. Like, man, 97% likely to win. And you missed the cover. They were up by like 18 at that point. I missed the cover and I lost the game. I can't, man. I need a break. I got to put them in timeout. So I'm not touching the Broncos. I don't care if I am getting 6.5 and it looks like that's the way to go. But nah. I'm good on that. So I would lean to back the less public team here, which is the Broncos. But I would buy that 6.5 up to 7. And I would be ready to hedge when Russell Wilson decides to just fumble the ball and the game turns upside on his head. So, yeah, it's just a lean for me to do the Broncos. I'm just looking at some of these public plays, and I just kind of want to fade them. Especially if Waddle's not playing. Really would be looking to fade the Dolphins here. Let's see. Next game, I almost called them the Baltimore Colts. But Colts versus Ravens, lines at 8 here. What is the status of Anthony Richardson? I'll tell you, I haven't even checked. Partially because, one, I figured he had a slight concussion in the first game when he got hit upside the head. And then week 2, obviously, sure, he had a concussion after he banged his head on the ground. One thing about concussions, when they happen like that consecutively, you're more likely to get a third one as well. He ain't changing up his running style. He trying to deliver blows. It's likely somebody's going to take his head off again, unfortunately. So I'm going to stay away from it. I'm hoping they don't play him. I haven't heard anything. But he self-reported the concussion. He's listed as questionable. I really hope he doesn't play. I think he needs the rest of the week. And I also got a 6-1 future on him to win Rookie of the Year. And I'm even still saying I think he needs the rest. Broncos getting 77% of the money right now and 29% of the bets. Still Ravens heavily public bet. Minshew will be the quarterback if, for some reason, Anthony Richardson doesn't play. Minshew and Steichen had their stint in Philly together. So again, it's like the Andy Dalton thing. I don't really think it's a drop when he comes in the game. I don't think it changes the line. If anything, it probably makes me more willing to back the dog with the number. And I think some of that's reflected here on the line itself, because it opened at 7.5 and I've seen it as high as 9. Now it's back down, or 9.5, and I've seen it now it's back down to 8.5. So I just think it's just kind of like one of those things where what are we valuing Minshew, the difference between Minshew and Richardson as far as them covering the number. Richardson played, obviously would feel a little bit better about it, but Ravens without Odell Beckham, again, they're at home. They usually beat these bad teams too. I'm not 100% sold that the Colts are bad, because I think they're well coached. They just don't have the talent. So I lean to the Ravens at 8, but would likely be a game that I would probably find a prop or something. I really wouldn't put too much stock into this game. Panthers, Seahawks, interesting game, because when the line opened at 5.5, I was like, yo, everybody take the Seahawks, man, take the Seahawks. And now looks like Bryce Young is out, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe the Red Rifle can get it done. Maybe. But one thing that scares me with this game is the secondary for the Seahawks. I just don't think they're that good. And they don't, I don't know, they just don't do it for me. But at 5.5, I thought, like, hey, I get a rookie. Rookies go to Seattle and just get ate up no matter who's up there. It's under Pete Carroll's tenure. I think he's 14-2 straight up against rookies. if he's losing, he ain't covering. I know that for a fact. He ain't gonna go up there and just make it a game. All of a sudden, he's been a little turnover prone as well, even though he's been really accurate. That was my assessment of Bryce Young. So I like the five, the 5.5. I mean, I even liked it up to 6, maybe 6.5 if I was feeling really frisky. But then when you throw in a veteran like Andy Dalton, who knows how to handle the pressure of being in a venue like that, I don't know. But Seahawks really publicly bet right now. Like I said, so 83% of the tickets. Woo! 83% of the tickets on Seattle right now. And I don't think that's going to go down. So I'm going to try to stay away from that game. I had thought about putting them in my contest, and I don't think I like it as much anymore. Let's see. Next game. We are rolling through these things. I'm sorry I kept you guys with my early rants, but it's 12:28 a.m. You're going to get my thoughts. Cowboys. Cardinals. Don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Cowboys obviously would be the pick. I will say this, in the not so fast, my friend, the last couple times, one infamous time I recall of a team being bad, supposedly tanking, double digit home dog going against an unstoppable force. I want to say, if my memory serves me right, it was Buffalo traveling to Minnesota. And Buffalo, I think, was on a tear, and Minnesota was kind of bad. And it was almost like a 14-point game. And Minnesota outright won, like something crazy. And I don't even think – I think that happened like twice that year. It was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. But anyway, I know a lot of people like to fill their cars with games like this. But is it really worth it, man? Is it really worth it to lay 12 points on a game like this? I mean, the Cardinals do suck, but Cowboys just lost their best cornerback and had a couple other little nicks and injuries in practice. Maybe they just go in there and just do enough to win. Keep it within like 8 or 9, maybe 10 at best, but just want to get out healthy. I don't know. I don't think it's worth it, though. So, again, lean to the Cowboys, but I wouldn't bet it. It goes into this next game, Bears, Kansas City. Man, if you have been following NFL news, you can't help but see the Bears. They got the Fizz after them. They got everybody but opposing defenses caring about them, which is funny. But I don't know. I can hear Ronnie's voice now. What about your boy Justin Fields? I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I've seen people talking about, oh, you know, his rookie season, his footwork was like this, and now it's like that. Like, man, I don't know if it's really that deep. Maybe he just sucks. Maybe we were wrong. I still don't want to believe that, but I mean, I watched the all 20. I went back and watched all 22s on the Bucks Broncos today while I was eating dinner, because I wanted to see the Buccaneers defense to see what they were doing. How did they contain Justin Fields as a runner? That was my intent. What I actually saw was some of the worst quarterbacking at the NFL level I've ever laid eyes on since I've watched all 22s. And that's coming from somebody that wanted Justin Fields as their fucking quarterback. It is bad. Some of it's coaching, a lot of it's you. Damn. It sucks, man. Like, because I tell you what, the Chiefs ain't covered a number this big in forever. But the team just lost their defensive coordinator, and they got all kind of other crap going on. Why would you put money on this? That would be my question. Why? This is the game that if you take these points, man, you need to call that gambling hotline, because you got a problem. Lean to the Chiefs, even though it's an ugly line and conventional wisdom says the number's too big. It's just a lot going on, so lean to the Chiefs. Let's see. Steelers, Raiders. Crazy, crazy, crazy thing about this game. When this line first came out, I was looking at it on Tuesday, or when I looked at the line on Tuesday, the Raiders were +1. And I was like, that doesn't look right. kind of what I said when I looked at the Packers-Vikings line. The week before that was the Bears. I said Packers-Vikings. God, I get these teams right. Week one, the Packers coming to Chicago, 1-point dogs. And I was like, that doesn't look right. So I took the Packers. Week two, Packers were traveling to Atlanta as like 1 or 2 point favorites. And I said, that doesn't look right. And I took Atlanta. Week three, Steelers are traveling to Vegas and they were favored by 2. And I said, that doesn't look right. And now the line is flipped on its head and the Raiders are favored by 3. So moral of the story is, next time I look at something and say that doesn't look right, I need to just put the money on it right then and there. Back the Raiders with caution. And I say that because the same thing happened last week when I had a ticket for the Falcons plus 2. By the time the game started, the Falcons were favored by 3. And I said on the podcast Sunday, what was the number? Ronnie said 3. I said, oh, well, if it's 3, I'm going to take my points with the Packers. Both of those bets hit. And in those kind of scenarios, you can do that. You actually can do that a lot in the NFL. If you catch something before the, like if the bookie makes a mistake or the book makes a mistake, it's rare, but it happens. If they make a mistake in the wrong team's favorite, you can get both sides. And it's a beautiful thing. You double down. You can't lose, basically. You can't lose. And that's a beautiful thing. I think this game kind of fits that bill. I'm tempted to take the Steelers plus 3.5. Right now, if I'm getting that many points. But, you know, if we'd have gotten in earlier, I'd have been all about Team Ravens. So there's that. And as I'm talking, I just accidentally put in a bet for the Steelers. So shout out to FanDuel and them that let you cancel those tickets. That was an accident. But, yeah, lean to the Steelers if it's over 3. Lean back to the Raiders if it's under 3. Next game. Let's see. Next game. We're in the Monday nights now. Okay. First Monday night game. I got a banger for you. It's going to confuse you. I apologize to the Falcons because the Eagles. You can't say anything about the Eagles, man. For some reason, their fans get so quick to fight you. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. But anyway, I got the Bucks covering this game. The line was at 5. Actually, the line was at 7. And then it went to 5 when it opened on Tuesday. And now it's at 4.5. So a lot of money on the Bucks. But funny thing, a lot of tickets are coming in on the Bucks now too. So one of it's weather related, because I think they were supposed to get some weather. But it might be up north. Either way, here's my thing. Bucks have a good run defense. They got a defensive-minded head coach. It's going to make it difficult. Having watched the Eagles 2 games, and it's not enough to definitively say that something's wrong with the offense, but what I have identified as probably some of the problem is that they don't do RPOs anymore, or they don't run RPOs as much. Actually, the 2 games I've seen, I did not look at every single snap. I looked at probably 75% of the snaps. So maybe I missed it. I don't recall seeing it in real time either. I haven't seen any RPO from Philly. They were one of the top 3 teams in RPO last year. And I think that rhythm helped. It helped Jalen Hurts, but it also helped to establish their vertical attack, their deep passes. And now I feel like those deep passes are forced. And they did a lot of max protect sets against the Vikings, which are kind of weird because they got a damn good offensive line. Even if they're blitzing, you got a dynamic quarterback too. I just don't feel like max protect is what you do for somebody like Jalen Hurts and with an offensive line like this. I feel like it shouldn't be an issue. But, there was some plays where like only – 2-3 people were going out for a pass, and then the amoeba defense that the Vikings do can be confusing. And so maybe it was just one of those weird games. But I think the Eagles are overvalued against the number. The first two games of the season, a lot of luck involved in covering that number against the Patriots, and some luck involved in covering the number against the Vikings. So two teams that beat themselves. One thing the Bucs have not done this year so far is beat themselves. That is why they're 2-0. And I think that's what you need to cover this 5, or in this case, 4.5. Putting the Bucs in my super contest, about 51% of the tickets are on the Bucs. 64% of the money is on the Bucs, though. And I think anything over 4 should be good to go. Or I mean, maybe 3.5, but anything over 4 should be good to go. The second Monday night game, we're all waiting to see Joe Burrow. Is that famous Happy Gilmore scene? Well, we're waiting. That's what I feel like. That's exactly what I feel like. So I'm still seeing minus 1. Oh, wait. No, that's the quarter. Sorry. I was going to say, I'm still seeing minus 1.5. Never mind. Spreads up to 3. I have a ticket. I have a ticket. 1.5. On the Buccaneers at minus 1.5, or the Bengals at minus 1.5. Anybody wondering what a unit is for me right now? I do a rolling payroll. I'm up to $150 a unit. So a unit and a half, you guys do the math. That's what, 225? So 225 on the Bengals. This will be a hedge. This will be a hedge. If Joe Burrow does not play, all bets are off, obviously. Joe Burrow plays and he doesn't look like he's going to be able to really do anything, all bets are off. I know that the cash stream is bothering him. I just think it was a lame-ass excuse for poor play. Zach Taylor's doing that crap again where he turns this amazing offense into a sideline offense. Makes them look like they're Middle Tennessee State, which is absolutely stupid, when they should look more like Ohio State. And so once he gets his head out of his ass and they decide to go vertical again and go down the field instead of to the sidelines, they'll be a good team again. They'll cover the number. They'll beat teams. But if they're going to keep doing this sideline to sideline stuff, man, like I don't understand why it's emphasized in offense. I don't have a problem with it being in the offense. I have a problem with people running tunnel screens and things like that. I have a problem with them making that the basis of their offensive attack when you have such a talent. You got Mixon, you got Higgins, you got Chase, you got Boyd. Like, man, the only thing Joe Burrow's missing for real is a damn tight end. But what do you even need that for when you got 3 legitimate weapons that perfectly complement each other? Chase is your all-around guy. Boyd is your underneath guy. Higgins is your vertical guy to stretch the field. What are we doing? Mixon can run and catch out the backfield, and you be having him back here blocking. If your line's that bad, scheme getting the ball out your hands quickly. And I get Joe Burrow kind of has a tendency to hold the ball, But damn, if him and Chase, they're running slants and things like that, which I've seen them do, they can't be stopped. Literally can't be stopped. So what are we doing, man? Like, I find myself asking that a lot. I'm not gonna turn my gambling podcast into a X and O rant on how stupid these coaches are. But healthy trend here. I've been watching this line since it opened. The money percentage went from 2%. To now 17% differential on the Bengals. Anything over 20 is pretty significant to me from what I've learned and noticed in looking at ticket percentage versus money percentage in the NFL. So what I'm talking about here is 72% of the tickets are on the Rams. 55% of the money is on the Rams. Not a lot of confidence, just a lot of people thinking like, hey, they're going to do it, but not putting their money behind it. The Bengals, on the other hand, have 28% of the tickets, 55% of the money, or 45% of the money, which is a plus 17 differential. And again, anything over 20 and up is pretty significant. in the NFL. And it's not an exact science, because again, you don't know how much money people are putting down on it. But that's why I say 20% is pretty significant, because if you've got 20% more money on one team than the other, and the ticket percentage is this crazy, it's a more confident, sharper play to back the Bengals. Here's my thing, though. They haven't been good this year. Rams have been sneaky against the number, outright against the Seahawks, and covered backdoored against the Niners. So there's a chance here that that they could do it as well. You had the line at almost like 5 or 6 before Burrow said, "Oh, my calf is strained." I got in low at 1.5. I'm not sure if I would even bother going over 3, because again, we haven't seen the Bengals play that well yet. And even if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. But when the Bengals do get going, this is my warning to everybody, and this is what I want everybody to know: when the Bengals do get going, they will absolutely be a terror, and probably rack off another like 7 covers as well, or 11 covers. I think last year was their record, like 11 in a row or something crazy like that. So right now you can buy low on Cincy. Even their win total, their projected win total, I think is down under 10. I think it's like 9.5 now. I got in on the under at 11.5. I said I felt like they were an 11-win team. I did not foresee them starting 0-2. But again, I wouldn't panic just yet. But I don't want anything over 3.5 or over 3 right now with this team. So lean to the Bengals at 3 right now. I'm already in it 1.5. So again, I'm not saying that to brag, and I know people probably listen to this like, what is going on? Maybe I should not podcast anymore at 12:44 a.m. But either way, I wanted to get the information out. I appreciate you guys listening. And then if you have any questions, or if this was too confusing and you thought I was rambling, just DM me, man. Facebook, Alan Sandage, Twitter, at ActivelyLazy85. And then just at me in the group if you want. If you're an All-Star member, by all means, you can reach out to me. If you're in the High Roller contest, tread lightly. I'm not helping you bums, but you guys have a great night.